Okay, and welcome back. Gary Holland is here. We're taking another look, analytical look, at Las Vegas and doing some speculating on what may or may not make sense. We don't have the answers, but we've got some pretty good general ideas. There are a lot of things that certainly don't add up. Jesus Campos, I think, clearly suffered a tiny flesh wound, or he would not have been up and around like he was. He wasn't shot through the leg, as I said. It would have blown his knee out or whatever. He'd be in the hospital still, or at least home with his leg up in a cast. So where is he? We don't know. I kind of have a feeling we're not going to see him for a long time. And if we do see him, it may not even be him. We don't really know. They may bring a double in who's rehearsed and got that story down. I think they had a hell of a problem, Gary, explaining their timeline in light of what Campos dealt with and saw. I think that was a real issue.
Sure. Matter of fact, you could even draw a conclusion that Jesus Campos, if that's his real name, was the one who was part of the staging operation in that room. And they needed a cover in case he was seen by somebody. They blew some rounds off, which I kind of believe the story of that Australian guy who was next door to Paddock's room,
right,
where he said he'd seen three guys in security forms running down the hall being shot at. So, and
now, why would he lie? How could he be mistaken about something like that?
I have no reason to.
Remember, the doors are all recessed off the hallway walls. Okay, they're set in about, 18 inches or something. And that other maintenance worker came up, and he claims that Campos saved his life and motioned him to stay back and get in one of the doorways. There were shots coming. So something's wrong there, really wrong, and that's why Mr. Campos is missing right now. And not technically missing, I guess, because somebody knows where he is, but he's missing. So there we are. All right. Now, you were talking at the end of the last hour about road closures. Sunset is way down there.
Sure.
You wonder why. I can't figure it out unless there were other shooters, other issues that are part of the crime scene.
Exactly. Because I can understand closing Russell down the Tropicana because that would be the primary crime scene. But they closed all the way, and they had just not one day. They closed it down for, I think, two or three or four days. And they had that closed for a few days. And I don't understand why Las Vegas Boulevard would have been closed from anywhere between Russell down to Sunset. That'd make no sense, because even if it was a traffic issue, they have multiple lanes that they could have just basically diverted everyone onto Russell to get out, you know, down and go down Russell and circle around all that problem, mm-hmm, and, you know, detour them down Russell, maybe down to, say, Valley View or Decatur, and they can go back on Decatur or Valley View, back down the Flamingo, and then go down Flamingo and jump back on the freeway. But remembering wrong, but I think even Flamingo exit was closed down on the freeway. But if it wasn't, that's where they could have done. Or if you're going the other direction, they could have went the opposite direction and brought them down the Blue Diamond Road. Down the Blue Diamond Road or Sunset if they hadn't closed it down. So I don't know why they would that wouldn't have been a traffic issue problem even. So I don't know, have no clue why they would shut it. Because you understand, if you go between Russell and Sunset, you don't have much there. You got that golf course where they're going to build Raider Stadium. So the golf course, I think, is closed down already. That land's already starting to be developed for the new stadium for the Raiders.
Wow.
You have a Jack in the Box there, and I don't know if they bought that property out there. There's it's a terrible gas station, which would be halfway in between Russell and Sunset. Then a little bit farther down, you have Fry's Electronics, which is actually a little bit past Sunset right there. So you're talking, it would be like the back end or the north end of this big shopping area. It's called Town Square. And then on the other side, you just have Airport Runway, and that's pretty much it on the other side. Cause you do have the Welcome to Las Vegas sign and that type of stuff a little bit past Russell, and the rest is just, you know, airport. And,
exactly.
Which I don't understand why you would be, again, closing that area down. They might have had a reason to, you know, strategic reasons, procedural reasons. I don't know. It just makes no sense to me. Like I said, Russell to Tropicana, I could understand, but not that far down. And then I don't know why they would need that far down.
I don't get it. I don't know. Another one of those things that don't seem to make sense, but obviously made sense to somebody or they wouldn't have done it. All right. Let's pull back now and you give us your take on this. What are your general thoughts about that? Let's just kind of sketch it in.
Well, you know, as I was explaining to you before, this is a part of a bigger operation. This is just one piece of the puzzle. If you notice, the past few years, you've been having all these different incidences. You have Charlottesville, you have Boston, Sandy Hook, and you know, these are small mission goal. What I would consider goal-oriented.
See, Orlando. Now, some people feel that Sandy Hook was essentially a fraud. I don't know, but the bottom line is it was an event, and it took the media, and that's part of the narrative. These are big events, okay? They're psychological ops. In this case, it was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, a slaughter, genocide, whatever you want to call it. This was a real ugly deal. Go ahead.
So, if you treat all this, what's going on these past, I would say, many years, use everything as a puzzle. And it all builds up to one thing, and this is just my opinion and my theory, NORTHCOM and North American Command. And what's the North American Command? Well, that was established in 2002. What would make that so important? Well, because NORTHCOM is actually the one, in my opinion, controlling this country right now. You got to understand. The people that are running NORTHCOM, the people who are assigned and the people who plan these things, they're considering this country, and matter of fact, the whole North American continent, as a theater of operation, not a country.
That's their mission. That's their job.
Exactly.
NORTHCOM. They're to take care of, in a military sense, the United States and North America. Okay.
Let me explain, and I can even back up what I just said about them considering it a theater of operation. You know what command supports NORTHCOM? The U.S. Special Operations Command, USCOM, USS, or USSOCOM, or USSOCOM, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have in USSOCOM, their support command unit for NORTHCOM is a command called Theater Special Operations Command, or SOC North, Special Operation Commands North. And they even have a mission statement. Their command vision is, or in their mission statement is, SOC North in partnership with interagency and regional SOFs, okay, Special Operation Forces,
uh-huh,
synchronize operations against terrorist networks and their acquisition or use of weapons of WMDs, and when directed, employs fully capable SOF or, you know, Special Operations Forces to mm-hmm. defend the homeland in depth and in respond to crisis. So that's their mission statement. That's SOC North's mission statement, Special Operations Command, which is, again, if you got again, Theater Special Operations Command. So it doesn't say U.S. Continental Country Command. It doesn't say United States Constitutional Command.
No, it's Special Ops.
Special Operations, and it's theater. That's the main word, theater. See, mm-hmm. they're in a theater right now. This is a theater. This is their operational theater. And if people go back to the old Operation Gladio, well, I'll give you a couple. I have a couple of examples that I just noted right before I went on air with you. I'll give you a date. The year 1985 in Belgium, a secret army attacks and shoots the shoppers in a supermarket randomly in the Brabant County, killing 28 and leaving many wounded. Investigators linked the terror to a conspiracy among Belgian stay-behinds, which was considered part of the Operation Gladio, SDRA-8. The Belgian I'm pronouncing that word is just very hard. It's basically a Belgian force. SDRA-6.
Grand Gendarmerie?
Grant, the Gendarmerie, yes.
Gendarmerie.
All right, yeah. Gendarmerie, okay. And that's which are the SDRA 6, the Belgian right-wing group, WNP, and the Pentagon Secret Service, DIA, which is Defense Intelligence Agency. That was that directly linked in 1985, that Belgium shooting there. Well, there was another one you had in 1980, August 2nd, 1980, the bombing of the Bologna station, which killed 85 people, widely recognized as a Gladio operation. While it was initially had blamed it on Red Brigades, the Communist Red Brigades. Because, matter if you remember right, all that stuff going on during them times in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s, blame Gladio was always to blame the Communists, the boogeyman Communists.
That's right.
So then you had the Communists. And eventually, right-wing fascist elements were discovered to be the culprits. But two Italian Secret Service agents, Lucio Gelli and the head of the infamous P2 Masonic Lodge, were convicted in connection to the bombing. So what you see, nightclub shooting in Orlando, Sandy Hook, random shooting in San Bernardino with the Muslim terrorists down there. You had Boston bombing. You have this shooting here in Las Vegas. Everything is a piece of the puzzle because it's part of
the Colorado structure. The Colorado movie theater shooting. There's been a bunch of them.
Virginia Tech shooting. It's all one thing. Nutty guys. And see, what would be the easiest way? This is what they're really pushing for, in my opinion, when it comes to gun control. I can give you the reason why they want gun control, but I can tell you what excuse they're going to do to get around the Second Amendment. Everyone says, well, you know, we're not going to take guns from anybody. We just want to make sure people who have mental problems don't get them. Well, who's going to be the one judging who has mental problems?
That's right.
I could say anybody could, any reason I'm angry today at my boss. Well, you got mental problems. See, so then they say, well, it's reasonable to ban for life ownership of any weapon.
Of course, this
if
is
you have mental problems.
George Orwell, 1984. Oh, this is
exactly.
This is crazy. Of course.
And if you notice the key to everything, it was always, well, he's a lone gunman and they all had mental problems.
Always
and
lone gunman.
If we had great mental screening, we wouldn't have a problem like this.
There's kind of national mental screening, and they're going to start it in the schools.
Yep.
They won't go after the older people. They're already profiling them in schools. That's how they're doing it.
Well, every high school has a school psychologist. Every public high school has a school psychologist already.
Right.
And I would never bring my kids to the public school. They were homeschooled. But the public schools, they have a school psychologist. They're not there for the well-being of the child. They're there for mind control.
They're called enforcement. Implementation and enforcement.
You don't believe for a second that you have a school psychologist and they're there for the mental well-being of the child in that school. It's complete mind control, and they use these psychologists to guide and get these kids on a certain path in life.
They're profiling the kids too. And if there are kids, if there's any kids that are really independent thinkers and won't buckle in to the whole game, they'll start a dossier on them, which will follow them for the rest of their lives.
Well, because they in public schools, you're always taught in what I call groupthink. Because
always.
That's really what they want. They want
always.
You to be in groupthink, never independent thought.
I call it the hive mentality, HIVE, hive, group, hive. If it's good for the hive, it's good for everybody. And if you're not part of the hive, there's something wrong with you. So there you go. Yeah, they're marking these kids at very, very early ages, preschool, kindergarten.
Definitely.
They're already keeping tabs on them. They got portfolios. They got psychologists that are making notations about behavioral events. Trust me, it's going on.
So someone would say, well, why, what did they do or what happened to establish considering this continent to be a theater of operation? Why they set up NORTHCOM? Why is SOC North be in support of NORTHCOM, which is Special Operations Command? Well, think of it when the first Desert Storm, when they used to call it what the first initial wave bombings was called shock and awe, right? And then they set up Iraq Command at that time, and they set up during Desert Storm, the first command. I don't remember exactly. That's when General Schwarzkopf was there and all that. So what was our shock and awe? Oh, 9/11. That was our shock and awe. That was the initial wave.
This was another inoculation, a booster shot after 9/11. Yeah. They keep giving us booster shots. Remember that term?
Sure.
All right.
It's because you have to always, before you go in country, you have the shock and awe. Well, the shock and awe for us was 9/11. Then they set up NORTHCOM.
Well, I remember NORTHCOM very clearly, and I said, what the hell? What are they doing here? Wouldn't NORTHCOM, if they were doing their job, and there were even a remotely whispered rumor that ISIS was involved, and ISIS claimed credit three different times, wouldn't NORTHCOM have had some personnel on the scene there to investigate?
Totally on their mission statement for
NORTHCOM.
That's what their mission statement
is. I don't recall them being at any of the venues that you just mentioned.
No, absolutely not.
So what's their job? They're not doing
their job is to further the command, the orders that are given. See, I'm focusing. And there's a lot of people that they do really great jobs at focusing on the order takers, on the order givers. Okay, well, I can give you 10 theories on who's giving the orders. I can definitely tell you this. It's not the civilian command in this country. The Republican Democrat Party, I don't even call them that. Let's all be grown-ups here. The Republican Democrat Party is really the AIPAC Party. Really, that's what you should call them. They're not the Republicans. They're not Democrats.
Really well
said,
Gary.
I've been calling them the AIPAC Party for years. The Democrat left and right wing of the AIPAC Party. Because if you do not... As you know, Drew, and I've heard Cynthia McKinney talk dozens of times. I've actually talked to her on the phone a few times when she used to go on some shows when I was on KLAB. When you're the first thing is you become a new freshman senator or congressman. You're brought into the back. Is it talk about U.S. policy or what's going to help this country? No, you have to give a pledge that you pledge to Israel. Now, why would a U.S. elected official, even 10 days after going into Washington, D.C., after or even 10 years being in Washington, D.C., would you ever say you're going to take a pledge to a foreign country? Now, think about this. You're being told as a congressman or senator, you must pledge to Israel, not to the Constitution, not to the citizens of the United States. You have to pledge to Israel. So
we've
then
covered,
you're not a Democrat. You're not representing us.
No,
you're representing them. So you're the AIPAC party. At least be grown-ups about it. Tell the people, hey, look, we're the AIPAC party. We're here to do the bidding for Israel. We're not, a lot of people get this, especially your layman people, are very funny because they say, we're giving Israel the orders. Wrong.
I've spent 24 years trying to point that out. It's totally wrong. No, AIPAC, all you got to do is look at the annual AIPAC convention and watch America's so-called leading politicians grovel. It's despicable.
Embarrassingly grovel.
Yeah.
It's just beyond groveling. And so, there is no civilian oversight of NORTHCOM. There just isn't. Now, who's at NORTHCOM? Well, you have different generals, officers, and it's a command structure. But all they do is carry out orders. They don't make orders. They don't make things up. They're told, hey, this is what we want, and what their job is to get the order givers to get them there. So their mission is, we want this for this theater of operation, which is North America. You come up with a plan. You implement it. And you enforce it. And that's all they do. And so, what it comprises of, for years, the military has always profiled people. And you would think, well, they're profiling, yes, for psychopaths. But are the psychopaths, when they do profile you as either a socio or a psychopath, do they weed you out of the military? Well, actually, no, you get promoted. If you're a thinking person, if you're not a brainwashed person, they figure out ways to get you out. And you definitely, if you are a thinking person, I can testify to this. If you are a independently thinking person, you're not wanted. You are a danger because you're not reliable. You're untrustworthy. You won't carry out unconstitutional orders. And if you are the type that will get clicked on, get phony documents written up against you, you know, your jacket, your service record, they'll put stuff in it. They'll do everything they can, but they're definitely letting you know we're weeding you out. You're not welcome here. Because we need people that are just yes men. Who are basically robots.
Gary, let's extrapolate this. Let's take it out of the realm of the military and take it right to the police in this country. Most major police agencies now are Israeli trained. And you'll say, what are you saying, Jeff? What do you say? Most police chiefs, and probably their top two or three, go with them. They're flown all expenses to Israel. They're put through training. They're given the same basic training to bring back here to implement in their departments that the Israelis use against the Palestinians and anybody else who gets in their way. It's a thuggery. It's brutal. They don't take prisoners. That's why the cops are killing so many people in this country now. Yeah. It's part of the Israeli policy.
That question later.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. None of them. And how many have you seen actually end up being held accountable? Virtually zero.
Especially here in Metro, I could go through so many stories where people were handcuffed, where they were trying to run away from the police, and Metro actually shot them in the back. See, they have a thing called here, which is a lot different than a lot of other police departments around the United States. If a police-involved shooting in Metro jurisdiction, and or any jurisdiction here in Nevada, they have what they call the coroner's inquiry. So they do an autopsy on the body, and the coroner's the one who decides if it was a justifiable shooting or not.
Wow.
They have what they call a coroner's inquiry.
Wow.
So there's two very big two shootings that stick in my head the most. One was a kid that was involved in a murder where they basically lured some other kid to the desert and they killed him. A few days later, the Metro raided his apartment building, handcuffed him, had him in the back of the squad car. Well, he somehow managed to get out of the squad car and started running. They shot him in the back. According to the coroner's inquiry, they were justified doing that.
That's what we hear all the time. They'll come up invariably with a means to justify police shootings. It happens all the time. We've all seen it. Outrageous executions of American citizens by the men and women in uniform, and it just does not get the attention or the treatment it deserves. In fact, the police in this country are already ahead of 2016 in the number of American citizens that have been executed by cop. That's not to knock everybody in law enforcement. We don't do that here, but it's to tell the truth. And the other thing about police agencies is that, and we know this, if you're too intelligent, you don't get in. And they'll profile you. You'll take an IQ test, which they won't call it that, but they'll do it's a total personality, intellectual profile. If you score too high, you're out. They won't touch you. They want, I think, 105 is the top they'll let in to most major departments now. 100 to 105 IQ, they don't want anything more than that. Because those people think. They'll step outside the hive. They'll think too much. They won't follow orders. You know the game. It's like the military. So our police have really not just been armed like the military. They've been mentally trained to be the military. That's what they are. So we have posse comitatus, forget it. We got the military. They're called police now.
Yeah, let's go back around to Northcom with posse comitatus. Okay, on their statement on their website says we do certain missions that does not violate posse comitatus. Well, I hate to give them the bad news. Northcom just being there is violating posse comitatus.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. They mince words and people. Oh, that makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. Northcom just being where they're at, just being in place in this country. Is violating posse comitatus.
It's all double talk. It's really sickening. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come right back, yep. Gary, and continue with more. Take a look at that map. We'll go give that another look and see if we've got any loose ends we want to offer all of you as you mentally process this and watch it. It's going to get quiet now. Let me warn you about that. No more news conferences. Not much. No Jesus Campos. It's going to get quiet. That's what Las Vegas wants. We'll come right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Gary Holland, Las Vegas, and getting quite an inside look at this town, how it thinks, how it works, the whole thing. The story, again, has to, I think, start with the simple fact that every survivor of that concert who has spoken out, that I've seen on video or heard on radio or read about, every one of them has said there were multiple shooters at ground level. Every one of them. So we're supposed to believe that Lee Harvey Paddock on the 32nd floor in 15 minutes wound up his video poker game, took the elevator up, and did all the things he is alleged to have done. No. Who really was Jesus Campos in this story? What did he do? What did he see? Something's wrong. That's why he's not around right now. May never be. You may never see him again. Don't know. All right, let's wrap this up. What else do you have to put on the table for us? You know, that Northcom thing was very interesting, by the way, and correct.
And I can even give you, in my head, what I would think how they plan this with Northcom. And it was, just follow me for a second. First of all, you would be in the first phase of this operation. You wouldn't harden heart and minds of the people. Well, how do you do that? Well, through the EBT system, free phone, Obama phone, your free medical, the Obamacare, long-term unemployment, right, and stuff like that. Logistical, you set up mini bases in major cities, which would be under the disguise of National Guard, Army Reserve Base, and they always, like I explained to you, I told you, Jeff, offline a couple of days ago, they put up major choke points of cities.
And if every city.
Own city.
You bet.
Yep. If you look in any major city you live in, just check sometime when you're driving down your major freeways that leave out of the city. See,
oh, you know, let me tell you something. Let me, excuse me, Gary, I just thought of something. In Santa Barbara and other places, I remember once they closed, there are two lanes going north and two lanes going south. They closed one lane, and for a space of about, I'm going to guess, maybe 50 yards, they replaced the highway was made of, a combination of asphalt and old concrete. Anyway, they put brand new concrete in both lanes going north, and on the other side of the freeway, they put in both lanes going south, brand new concrete for about 50 yards. And I asked somebody what that was for, and the person knew, but he wouldn't say, and he said, well, just imagine something really heavy would have to sit there, like an M1A1,
exactly,
like an Abrams tank. Choke point. So
exactly.
Go ahead.
So,
yeah.
And part in the first phase, you also would be supplies, which was your large ammo buys, for example, buying large amounts of food supplies to hoard for themselves.
Billions of rounds of ammunition.
Sure.
Billions. And
yep.
God knows how much food. Yeah.
Infrastructure. Like you said, I've been seeing them doing a lot of these freeways, which are to be able to carry heavy equipment, also fortifying government buildings. They've been doing that for years. If you look at the GSA website, they've been fortifying bulletproof windows, putting that ram-proof shutter, you know, they call them shutter blinds, where they like a garage door thing that comes over the doors.
Sure, and then
know,
the concrete,
fortifying all buildings,
concrete,
the government.
Concrete posts out in front to prevent vehicles, bombing type vehicles, you know, car bombs, truck bombs, from penetrating the building. They can't get near it because they got concrete pillars every 6 feet or whatever.
Yep. And then your second phase, you would go into a second phase, which is kind of more like your more operational phase, which you would start off with mission specific operations that further their operational objectives. Or which ones were them? Well, I'll give you a few examples. Boston, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Orlando, Las Vegas, Charlottesville. And I have a keen observation on Charlottesville that really people have to understand. First of all, they let Antifa and a lot of the Antifa were probably agent provocateurs. Of course, the agent provocateurs, the way they work, they get a bunch of dummies, which are what used to be called the useful idiot. But there's always a small group that actually are funded and could be funded through George Soros, whatever you want, whoever, okay? But there's always their agent provocateurs. And they were allowed to attack that day of the men who were at the Confederate monument.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice what they did. They changed the narrative, and it sounded like all you heard was, well, it was neo-Nazis attacking everybody. They staged that perfectly. Not to say the guys who were going to that Confederate monument were in the wrong. They were 100,000% in their right.
They had a permit to go there. The Antifa people didn't.
They should have been able to go there. They had no permit. And exactly. But they knew once they had that plan. Once they heard that we're going to be at the monument and they won that court case, that operation had already went in effect. They needed, which is part of that, also that second phase is, you want to also engage what they consider hostile force. Well, who's a hostile force to NORTHCOM? The middle class of this country. Now, the middle class is all different races, but what's the largest subgroup in that middle class? The white race, obviously, because that's where the majority in the country. Mm-hmm. So there also would be stand the reason we're the majority of the middle class. Middle class stands in the way of complete global tyranny. Look, you know, this might sound it's not supremacist, because this is, I'm talking all races in the middle class. People in this world should thank one group of people in this whole world, and I'm talking pretty much a lot of countries around this planet should thank one group of people on this planet, is the middle class of the United States. Because the middle class of the United States has been really holding back our own imperial. I mean, yeah, we do imperial missions around the world, but once people got to realize the velvet glove comes off the iron fist when the middle class in this country falls.
You got it. That's really an astute observation. Very important. That the middle class has been.
NORTHCOM was set up.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. This attack was against the middle class.
Exactly. And see, they're going to use balkanization to further defer to advantage to their advantage. Balkanization. What's balkanization? Well, I don't like you. You don't like me. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. And no matter what, even if you're just you just want to look out for your European heritage, but they're going to twist it into you being some mean supremacist jackboot thug.
Oh, remember, nationalist is a dirty word. Now let's take that one step further and ask rhetorically, why have so many Muslims been brought into this country under cover of darkness, put on buses, and traveled all over the country before they were implanted and impregnated into your town, USA? Why? Why are the black Africans being brought in here? Just people that just can't deal with it here. They got 50 to 60 IQs. It doesn't work for them. They should stay there. The Muslims should stay in their countries. Yep. Why are they being brought here? You just used the word, balkanize America. Break it down, tear it up.
And a readily fighting force when they need to enforce their martial law, whatever they plan.
Oh, they can turn them loose. Because, military, exactly. 95% of the Muslims are fighting age men.
Yep, and that's why I mentioned to you last night why they've been allowing so many foreign nationals, or I call them modern-day Hessians, to join the United States military. Because if you need people to turn, there's not enough psychopaths in this country that you can have in the military to turn on their own American citizen. But there's plenty of foreign nationals that will gladly do it. Because like I told you, look at the third world eye. I offer you three hots and a cot and a couple of bucks to send to your family once a month. I'll do anything you want. Basically,
that's all it takes.
I would do.
That's right.
And that's all it takes. And so then the largest group what I consider the largest group, I just told you, would be the middle class, and the largest subgroup of the middle class is the threat to the command. Then what they do is they use small subgroups, or your different of racial groups who are very small subgroups, to attack the major group. And you do that through propaganda. You know, we do this around the world all the time. You just got to look at our own operations we've done in dozens and dozens of countries and hundreds of countries over the years. And what they're doing is that they've pretty much beta tested around the world, and they perfected it here. Because the fact of the matter is, you had 15 years. You got to understand, you had 15 years of NORTHCOM. They've had 15 years to put in place supply, logistics, communications. They fortified their positions. They've perfected their tactics and perfected their propaganda. And they've had 15 years to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And working right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
Under the guise of, well, it's natural, and you know, the commander in chief. Let me, someone, you know, I told you this, and people get really mad at me sometimes when I tell them this. They have to understand, the president and the first lady of the United States now is equivalent to the homecoming king and queen of a high school prom. They're ceremonial. They have no authority. And when Trump, remember that a while back, Trump said, I'm going to let my generals make all the decisions.
I couldn't believe it. He abdicated his position under the Constitution as commander in chief.
But you know what? All he did, what he did was just make a long-standing rule public. That's all he did. He ain't the first one. He just made it public.
Oh, absolutely. No, they took the so-called football away from the president long ago. He didn't make the calls.
No, absolutely not. You see the neocons, these neocon CFR generals. You understand, I've caught wind of some of the stuff they discuss at the CFR behind the scenes, not the public CFU, your kind, gentle, friendly, you know, real, they like on Fox News, they put the real nice looking women on there, and she's a CFR member, and she looks like a model. You know, that's, they want the image of that person in your head, what CFR represents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CFR represents McMasters. McMasters, the guy, you look at him, you look in his eyes, that's what CFR is. It's complete full spectrum dominance, and they will not stop until what their goals are met. And I'm telling you, these people are the most scariest people that I can imagine. And, you know, and I've ran into some of them when I was in the Marines, and they're the most scariest people imaginable. They're just scary people. They're psychopaths.
Well, really, they're kind of like, you can call them almost reptilians, but they're, you know, I'm not saying they're ETs, but they're not us. They're different. They are like a psychopathic race.
Yeah, you know, it's sad because what these guys do, like Tea Party movement, Occupy movement, like these movements, people have to realize 99% of these movements always start out really organic. They really do start out with good meaning. But then what I call, they take, if you want to just, let's do use a scientific term. And here's a good analogy. The establishment, deep state, whatever you want to call them, take their GMO, inject it into the organic movement, and make it theirs. And that's what they do. Because you have an organic movement that comes out like Tea Party. How fast was that taken over? How fast was Occupy taken over? Within weeks. They inject their GMO into it, and next thing you know, it's completely been taken over. The narrative's been taken over. Tea Party was anti-tax, and it turned into just neocon. Let's have some more. Come on. I mean, the original Tea Party people, when they started doing that in 2010, are nothing like the so-called Tea Party people now. They're just not. They're different people. And like I said, these establishment people and these subjugate and they go into these groups, they take them over, and then what I consider, what, you know, like I said, I use the analogy is a GMO. Imagine a GMO, same thing. They modify the organic movement to their own.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's a quick little sound clip. This is Steve Wynn talking about security in Las Vegas regarding his hotels and the MGM properties as well. And interesting. Just a little clip here.
Well, I know that my friends at MGM are particularly fastidious about trying to protect their employees and their guests. Having said that, there are a couple of things in retrospect, and it's always good to look over your shoulder on these things, but we have a routine with housekeeping, with room service, with audiovisual, anybody that goes in the room to do an inspection. We also have rules about do not disturb. If a room goes on do not disturb for more than 12 hours, we investigate. We don't allow guns in this building unless they're being carried by our employees, and there's a lot of them. But if anybody's got a gun and we find them continually, we eject them from the hotel.
So if he had suitcases carrying these automatic or semi-automatic weapons, would you have been able to spot that if they were in the suitcases being carried up to his room?
But we certainly wouldn't invade the privacy of a guest in a room. But let's put it this way. The scenario that we're aware of would have indicated that he didn't let anyone in the room for 2 or 3 days. That would have triggered a whole bunch of alarms here. And we would have, on behalf of the guest, of course, investigated for safety. And it would have been a provocative situation. I'm sure that the same is true at other hotels, but in this hotel, a 36-hour, a 24-hour, a 36-hour do not disturb on a room is a predicate for investigation.
Notice that he didn't say, he didn't answer the question, would you have caught him going in the front door with that much steel and ammunition? And Steve Wynn didn't answer that.
No, and further, if you further play that, this is before they said that he used a service elevator. This was like about a week before that
right.
that story came out.
Right.
That in that same conversation he had with Chris Wallace, he said, "And I wouldn't have let any customer of ours use the service elevators." Then that's when Chris Wallace said, "Hey, wait a minute, are you saying that he used the service elevators?" Well, then he started stammering and stuttering, and
right.
because he had, so that will tell you one thing. They already knew he was using the service elevators a week before. Like I had told you on that call that night, Steve Wynn has his tentacles all over town here. If something's happening just out, even in any casino here in town, Steve Wynn automatically knows about it. Because we understand these casinos all communicate with each other, especially when it comes to security. The security communicate every property, no matter who owns it. They all communicate with each other. They do. Because it's for obvious reasons. So it would make
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he found out a week before anyone, they held that information back and didn't tell anybody. Then all of a sudden, when Steve Wynn blew it out of his mouth, it took him a few days and they started saying, wait a minute, now it's a runaway train. We have to admit that he used the service elevator.
And now what do we know about the service elevators? The private detective who went in there, Nick, under the name Nick Falco, I think, we've got the story up. You've seen it. Claims that the service elevators are unmarked and open to be used by the guests.
But that's
what
not
he
true.
Says. Now, I don't know if it's true
says,
or not, but that's what he says. Go ahead.
Well, he would have. Yes, you could have access to it. But like I told you again, you have to have a room key to go up to the rooms in the customer elevators.
Yes.
The same thing being with the service elevators. You have to have an employee key to be able to operate it. Because, like I said, you can push all the buttons you want if you're inside that elevator. Until you put that slide electronic key into the card reader and it stays inside there the whole time you're going up, not going down, because going down, you've already been allowed to be into the room. They're protecting people from entering the room.
So he left that out of the story. That was not in the story. Interesting. So in other words,
employee's room
key. We got. I'm not saying I know this for a fact, but I'm telling you. My sources tell me there are over 120 Muslim employees, for example, at the Mandalay. And if one of them had a slide card and they wanted to help Paddock use the elevator, he uses the elevator. Or if he wanted them to bring something up in that elevator, they can do that too. It's all doable. And they got deliveries going all day long to those hotels. Trucks all day long, stuff going in and out of there.
On the bottom floors. But to get up into them floors, you have to have a special room key. So in other words, if he was using, say, whoever was using that service elevator had to be escorted by an employee. Or the employee had to have given them their card. See, there's a problem with that because all these casinos have facial recognition software. They know every face of their employee. So in other words, say an employee throws you a badge, or you're trying to act like an employee going on that service elevator, security would pick it up in an instant because facial recognition would recognize that you're not an employee there, even though you're using an employee key. Because you also got to remember, there's a ton of cameras on them elevators too.
Right.
So he was, if someone did go up, use them service elevators to bring all that armament up there, they had to have been escorted by an employee. And they had to get, by the way, they had to have gotten authority by security, the minimum, and to be allowed to use this service elevator. And the security department would have had to have gotten authority from a higher up in Mandalay to give the authority to allow someone to go use that service elevator. You just can't nonchalantly go use a service elevator. They don't they won't let that happen for obvious reasons. Robberies. I mean,
well, that ought to be in that. Robberies. That should have been included in that story. It's good that you brought that out.
It's SOP, standard of procedure. That's really it's what it is for every casino.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know, in that story with that Nick underscore Falco, his Twitter, he wants to remain anonymous. What really got me is A, they trespassed him, which banned trespassing in Las Vegas. If you get trespassed from a property, you're not for a year or life, whatever, you aren't allowed back. Basically, if you go back, you're going to be arrested for trespass. That's what a trespass, being trespassed, means.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you read into that article, when they came up, Mandalay Security came up, the management came up. Also, they had FBI agents look through every bit of his stuff. They flipped his room with him standing there. And which I'm so in other words, man, that story right there, if that's true, Mandalay has FBI in there on call.
Interesting. If not in there all the time, one or two agents.
No. Well, think about it. If he said he was, which I'm assuming if he got caught, he was probably walking around asking questions of the workers. Hey, I'm here doing I'm independently investigating. What do you think of what happened? The minute he started asking questions, they would have automatically reported at the security. Would have went up to higher up, and FBI would, I don't know, understand why FBI came into this just to trespass somebody.
I don't know. Let me ask one other question. No doubt, because people keep bringing this up. No doubt that they were able to watch exactly what happened in that hallway from security.
Yeah.
None.
They
I
have
just
security.
Wanna...
I'm telling you, they have cameras everywhere. Yeah. There's not one hiding spot in that casino that they don't have a camera. They have to for robberies.
For any of you who read this stuff, there was not a doubt at all about, there was no story about what happened in the hall. There were only facts, and the facts were on the video, which they don't mention. Interesting.
And the only excuse they have is that we don't have cameras in hallways. That ain't going to work, because that ain't true. That's just a lie. They're lying. It's outfaced, bold-faced lie.
Yeah, it is. Well, listen, we have really learned a lot, Gary, and I really thank you very much for everything. I've got some really nice emails thanking you as well. People really understand Las Vegas now from many different angles, much better than they ever could. So thank you for that.
I hope I helped everybody understand a little bit at least.
You did. You did. Take care, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night, our special. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye.
Mr. Gary Holland, Las Vegas, and we all learned a lot there. More so than any other venue I know of. We learned. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night, middle of the week. Hope you have a good day. We'll talk tomorrow night.